Hello, this is Daniel Orton, pastor of Harvest House United Pentecostal Church in Marion, Kentucky. It is our desire to see hurting hearts and minds healed as they are born again into the kingdom of God. It is my desire that this podcast will be a blessing to you and help bring you closer to Jesus.
Share this word of God with you tonight. I don't know, if you want to stand, you can stand, but I'm going to read from the Word. I feel like maybe we should out of respect, but I'm going to start reading in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 1, that's in the early part of your Bible, if anybody wants to turn there. Anybody like Leviticus? Is it your favorite book? Anybody? No? Anybody in this room besides the older people ever read Leviticus before?
No. Okay. Partially no. I'm on Genesis.
Okay. Maybe you might skip ahead and really enjoy the invigorating reading of Leviticus. Learn about some law.
Law?
It's about law. But I'm going to start reading there. Just four short verses. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "And the Lord called unto Moses, and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will." Somebody say voluntary.
Voluntary.
"Of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him." So does anybody know what is needing atoned?
Sin.
Sin, yes. Sin. And then, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read out of Romans, just two verses, very popular verses. It is Romans 12 and 1. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Sometimes it don't seem like it, but God's will is perfect. What God has for us and what is acceptable of God for us is still perfect in the end, because it's God's will. So let's just pray real quick tonight, and let's ask the Lord to kind of speak to us as I speak to you guys tonight in this from these scriptures. Lord, I'm thankful for this opportunity. God, I know that you've already come and you've anointed this setting. Lord, I just pray that now you would anoint the ears of the people in this room. Lord, I know that sometimes as preachers we stand behind this pulpit and it feels like our words are hitting nothing but walls, Lord. But I pray today that some minds would absorb what you're trying to say, Lord. That I would truly absorb what it is that you're trying to say. Lord, don't let me get lost in the teaching. Lord, don't let the congregation get lost in the listening, Lord. But allow us to be able to hear and feel your word in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, I'm going to be preaching off a simple topic. Voluntarily. Somebody say that. Don't say it too fast.
Voluntarily.
Because you might sound weird saying it.
It's voluntarily.
Kind of, okay, you're fine, right. Actually. It's kind of sounded like a hard word to say. Voluntarily.
Voluntarily.
That's good. So, how many would agree with me that being a mother for the right reasons is a noble act? You know what I'm trying to say?
I don't know nothing about being a mother, so...
Me either. But I have witnessed motherhood, so...
I haven't.
But from childhood to teenage years and into young adulthood, many girls dream of becoming a mother. Is anybody looking forward to becoming a mother in this room?
Yay!
Did anybody's toys resemble what it was like to become a mother? Anybody grow up with baby dolls?
G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe.
A Pillsbury doll, if that counts.
Yeah, I mean from childhood, little girls, they a lot of times in the store will gravitate towards wanting a baby doll, especially, you know, if the mother figure in their life is a good, strong mother figure, because that will make them want to be like that. And you can do that because there's companies out there that mold plastic and rubber, and they shape it into arms, legs, torsos, and heads, and they assemble it all together, and it's a baby doll. You can take care of it, you can name it, you can feed it, you can change its diaper, you can do all the great things without all of the real consequences. But you can, through this imaginary experience, raise a little baby, a little baby child that really doesn't grow, but in your head it can, and develop its own personality. But motherhood, because I'm a guy, I'm not a mom, motherhood is a beautiful thing that I've witnessed, though. The relationship between mom and baby, and we see that across many species besides just humans. We see that in tons of mammals, and you see how mothers are very protective. For example, I watched a video the other day on Facebook where a mother bear and a couple cubs are crossing traffic, and some dude got out of his car and went up to touch one of the cubs, and the mother jumped at him because she's very protective over her young. And I believe any mother in this room would feel the same way if somebody looked like they were coming to attack your children, if you're a mother that's worth anything, in my opinion. But it's very beautiful to witness. And the question I'm asking today is, where do children get their food naturally? It's from their mother. We all know what that's from, breastfeeding. Who understands the needs of their children better than anyone else besides a good mother? Who is naturally equipped with the senses to raise their child? The mother, most of the time. And I say mothers, but I'm also going to include motherly figures tonight, because I know not everyone grew up with a perfect mother. Not everyone grew up with a mother who was present. And not everyone grew up with a mother who took very good care of you. But there was, I'm sure, someone in your life that at some point was a good motherly figure to you. Whether even if it was just someone at school, like a teacher, who had those motherly senses to know what you had need of and help you in that moment. So, and I hope that every woman in this room that wants to can at some point experience the joy that seems to be of being a mother. But in general, as a parent, there is a contract you sign with thousands of hidden terms and conditions that you didn't realize you signed up for when you become a parent. As parents, I believe that we are meant to clothe, feed, water, and be there for our children for however long they need to. Right now, it is crucial more than ever, I believe, that we turn the tide of single-parent homes. That I come from a single-parent home, but I'm going to make sure that my son and my future kids have both parents there. Now, I wasn't given that luxury, and I know some of you weren't given that luxury, but I'm going to make sure that my kids have that luxury of having the mother and the father being there for them. Because I wasn't given it, but I'm going to make sure Corbin has it, amen, and the rest of my kids have it, because it's necessary for children to see both sides of the spectrum, the mother and the father, as God ordained it to be, man and woman in marriage. But being a parent has terms and conditions you volunteer for, which I label as a reasonable service. Does anybody agree with me that it is very reasonable that as a parent you're prepared to feed your child? You're prepared to buy them clothes. You're prepared to change all the stinky diapers. There's a lot of people that are on board to change diapers, but you got to. You got to change the diaper. It stinks. Someone's got to take care of it. They're not going to take care of it on their own. That's your job. That's my job.
You're trying to be young.
Bethany, she had a C-section, so she was down the first couple days after Corbin was born. So I was the one that changed that really nasty black poopy diaper. That I know it's a little gross, but the first one is, it's like, it's pretty bad. And it took me 20 minutes to do it. Because it would not come off. Like, the stuff would not come off his behind, okay? I'm not trying to get too crazy, but it's reasonable that you feed your child. It's reasonable that you change their diaper. It's reasonable that you give them water and you give them a place, comfortable, safe spot to sleep. And I would say that maybe it's even reasonable that you give them toys to play with. If anything, some kind of thing they can learn a skill from. Or figure out something on their own. And be willing that if it ever called upon you at a certain time to do it, that you would go beyond just the reasonable service and do whatever it took to help your child in any situation. I know my mom, she wasn't really given a great opportunity with my father to raise me in the dual parent home. She did single parent basically all of my childhood and teenage years. And there was a lot of struggles that she had because me and my sister, we wanted nice things because people besides us had nice things. And as a mother, I'm sure her heart hurt many times when she wasn't able to provide for us, even though she did, but provide for us the things we wanted. But she always gave us what we needed. Amen. And even some things we wanted, she would go as far as shoplifting to make sure that we had those things, and selling pills to make sure that we had those things, because football was expensive. All the stuff that we liked, it was expensive. But she always made sure that we had a way, even if it did eventually put her in jail. She took care of us. And she went beyond her reasonable service, although I do not agree with what she did. But she was trying to do the best she could with the circumstances she had. And if you hadn't caught on tonight, I'm talking about our reasonable service, what we need to volunteer for. And in the Old Testament, for sin to be forgiven, there had to be a sacrifice. When atonement was needed, a beast of the field or a fowl of the air was needed to have to sacrifice. It was a reasonable service that if you wanted your sin to be forgiven, you had to give something for that to happen. You had to raise a male without blemish or get one, however you needed to, and take it to the temple where it could be sacrificed. You had to, yourself, you had to kill it upon the altar and cut it up into pieces for the sons of Aaron to come and burn it. And it was a very bloody process, but it was reasonable at that time for your sins to be forgiven, for you to get bloody and sweaty in order for the atonement to happen. And as that went on, God saw that the sin began to surpass the blood atonement that the animals could give. And God realized that He had to step in and be the sacrifice and take the death that we ourselves, because of sin, were worthy of. Amen. And I'm thankful for a Savior who took my place when I was the one that should have been crucified for my sins, for my mistakes. But He did it for me. And I'm thankful that He has an ear that He can hear me when I cry. I'm thankful that He has a love that's greater than I could ever imagine. Because whether you know it or believe it today, Jesus loves every person in this room.
Amen.
Beyond our mistakes. Amen. Even after going to Calvary for us, He doesn't resent us because He had to die for us. He did it because He loves us completely, way more and way deeper than we could ever even dream of. He forgave our sins. He forgave our deepest, darkest secrets that no one knows about. And the best thing is He doesn't love you for how good you look. He doesn't love you for how good you can sing or how good you can play an instrument. His love is completely unconditional.
Amen.
It is given freely, and it was given on the cross for us.
Amen.
He loves you for who He created you to be at your birth, who He made you to be.
Amen.
And we have a free will. Does anybody know what that means?
And you can do what you want.
It means we can do whatever we want.
We're not man.
I mean, there's law of the land, but if you wanted to, and you could get away with it, you could go rob any bank you wanted to.
Go kill that guy.
And you could theoretically get away with it. Because you have free will. When you're in the lunch line, you can get corn over green beans. You can get two extra sandwiches. You can get white instead of chocolate milk. You have free will to choose. When you're at the grocery store, nobody's holding a gun to your head, hopefully, making you pick the broccoli over the Hostess cakes. All right? You can freely get whatever you want because you have free will.
Amen.
And today, you didn't have to come here tonight. You truly didn't. There were some people who made the conscious decision to not come here.
Amen.
I mean, excluding Pastor and Sister Cheryl, they needed the break. That's a little different. But there were people tonight who should be here.
I'm almost not conscious.
That made the free will decision to not come tonight.
Amen.
But your decision to come, I believe, is a reasonable thing to do.
Amen.
It's a reasonable service for you to come to church.
Amen.
And you to worship. We have free will to volunteer our lives to the cause that Jesus died for.
Amen.
Because what do volunteers do? A volunteer, it's not a paid job. When you volunteer, you're not going to get paid for it. Most of the time, you're not going to get recognition for doing it. When I think of volunteering, I think of the tornado that happened very recently, December 10th of 2022.
Wait,
2020, was it 22 or 21? Time is so crazy, let me tell you. But I think of the signs that I saw posted where it was saying that you could meet at this location to volunteer to help clean up debris.
Amen.
And I think of volunteer firefighters who don't have to, but they take time out of their schedule to show up when your house is burning down. Or in our case, if it wasn't for a couple volunteer firefighters that showed up when our yard and garage was on fire, we may have lost more than just that. But they volunteered their time. They volunteered their time and their selves to make sure that people like us will keep their stuff and live to see another day. And I can't explain it. You ever feel this way? I can't explain it, but I'm drawn to this place. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Amen.
I can't explain it, but even when I don't want to think about it, this is what I think about. Even when I'm trying to distract myself and be in my own thoughts, I come back to here. I come back to my relationship with God. And I believe that's because in the beginning when we created, God put His breath in us. And then He came and He died on the cross and gave us His blood to atone for our sins and our failures. Our sins are washed away and we are free because God gave Himself for us. And no one forces us to love God or to not love God. And that's evident because you're here tonight. You're here because a parent let you come. You're here because you chose to be here. I hope no one showed up tonight just because they thought they had to. I'm glad that you come here of your own free will. I'm glad that you're here.
Amen.
I want you to be drawn to this place. And the only thing that pops up between us and God is ourselves.
Amen.
Tonight, it is our reasonable service to volunteer ourselves as a living sacrifice presented holy and acceptable unto who? Unto God. You don't have to present yourself acceptable to this world. We don't have to stand up acceptable to this generation's standards of what it means to be happy or what it means to be popular or what it means to have influence.
Amen.
Because the one who has to accept us is God.
Amen.
He is the one who we need to volunteer our lives to.
Amen. Amen.
Not to the causes of this world, not to the causes of social media, and even as far as not to the cause of your job. Yeah, you have to volunteer an amount of time to your job. As is a man, I do believe, is your reasonable service to your wife and to your family.
Amen.
Or your future family or your future wife, committing your time to make money and understand that responsibility. But even beyond that, knowing that at the end of the day, volunteering our time and service to God is even more important than that.
Amen.
Because one day, the dollar isn't going to mean anything. Money isn't going to mean anything. When the world's coming to an end, all that is really going to truly matter is if you're reaching, if you're being that living sacrifice.
Amen.
And reaching for other people.
Amen.
To also become that living sacrifice. Eventually, that's all that's going to reign, and that's all that's going to matter. But we don't have to be accepted by this world. We just need to be accepted by God.
Amen.
And we do that by being a living sacrifice. What is a living sacrifice? That is going to the altar and having our flesh die on that altar.
Amen.
Asking God to forgive us of our sins and of our mistakes. And not getting up thinking that, oh man, I can't do this anymore. This sucks. I can't go and party on Friday night with my friends anymore. This sucks. I can't go and I can't smoke this or drink that. This sucks. That's not what being a living sacrifice is. A living sacrifice is going to the altar, killing our flesh on that altar, and getting up and being thankful that we're no longer bound by those things. Because now more than ever, there is such a peer pressure on this generation to do those things, to be accepted, to come out on the Friday night and get high and drink, to stay up way too late on our phones and on our video games, doing whatever, to be accepted. That's what we do, those things. We keep up with social media trends and TikTok songs just so we can be accepted and current, but we don't have to be.
Amen.
Because what we need to be current with is the Spirit. It is God. That is how we be a living sacrifice, giving ourselves voluntarily. God, the reason why that I give myself voluntarily is because God has never left me. It was only me who has ever left Him. And in those moments, that's when I voluntarily pushed myself to another worthless cause besides the cause of Jesus Christ. You know, in life, we may find moments where we're mourning loss, but we can't stay in that mourning. Where we're hurting, but we can't stay in that hurting.
Amen.
Because we're loved too much to stay the same. I'm in a position where I'm grieving the loss of my mother and my sister, but I can't stay in the grief all the time because I have to grow.
Amen.
And while God, I believe, has given me this grief to grow me as a person, I have to realize that I need to use it and move up to where God wants me to go. And I may be, some people in this room may be hurting, but we have to realize eventually that that hurt isn't going to last forever. And we can't let ourselves keep us in that hurt when God's trying to move us out of it.
Life doesn't stop moving.
Exactly. You got to realize that tonight that you're treasured way too much to stay where you are. You got too much behind you to stay where you are. God of the universe, who made heaven and earth, who made every part that links us together as a human being, who made all the beauty that we see, is behind us and before us. He has a perfect will for our lives, and I want to live in His perfect will for me. I know there's things that He will accept, but I want to live in His perfect will. And I believe that we need people in this church young people, whatever the age may be, to hear the cry of this generation and be the ones to volunteer to stand up and do something about it. We need people to volunteer, stand up, and help out any way that they can. Because there's so much talent in this room. There is so much potential in this room.
Man.
There's so much people in this room could be doing, and areas of ministry this church has never touched because we haven't had you yet. That's the truth. We haven't had someone yet step up and decide that they're going to start an addiction ministry in this church, and that's happening.
Amen.
There is tons and tons of hidden ministries that can reach this world that we're just holding back because we're too scared to stand up and volunteer to be the person that
Amen.
Does something. You don't want to get to an age where you might feel a little too old to be doing what you're doing before you start doing it. You don't want to get out of your youth.
I'm in my prime, boy.
Because age, it's not a factor for God. Understand that. God can use anyone at any age. It's not a factor for Him. But for us who are subject to time, the sooner the better.
Amen.
The sooner the better. Right now is better than in a little bit.
Yeah. Amen.
It's so easy to say is in a little bit. I tell people that at work all the time. I don't give them a time stamp because I learned that time stamps hold me accountable for what I said. If I say 30 minutes and it's not done in 30 minutes, when they roll around 30 minutes later, I'm in trouble.
Amen.
So I've learned to be like, I'll get it to you in a little while. And now we're living in that little while, and God's waiting for us to do what we've told Him we were going to do.
Amen.
And what He's called us to do. But you can do it now. You can volunteer now. There is plenty of room for growth in this church. There is plenty of room for ministries to be opened up in this church. As long as you're submitted to pastor and in talking to him, the sky is the limit.
Amen.
Maybe a budget's the limit, but we'll cross that path, you know. But
$5 hot and ready. That's it.
Because, you know, preacher, I want to sing right now. I want to drum right now. I want to play right now. I want to preach right now. I want to teach right now. Does anybody in this room want to do those things?
Amen.
Amen.
I believe people do. I believe a lot of them are out there right now that want to do these things.
Amen.
And even in this room, I know some of you have talked about it. That's what inspired this message, because I was in your shoes. I was 14 years old once when I learned to play the bass guitar. And I wanted to play that in church. But at a point, I was doing it for the wrong reasons. I was doing it because I wanted people to see me on the platform. I wanted people to see me up there on the stage playing the bass guitar, rocking out, whatever, you know. I actually wasn't very good at first, but I had to learn. So I know what it feels like to be drawn to the platform, to want to do something where people recognize you for doing that thing. And that's not the right reason.
Amen.
That's not how we are used in the church. Because we want to be seen. You need to want to be used in the church to glorify God. I wasn't praying like I should have been praying. I wasn't reading my Bible like I should have been reading my Bible.
Amen.
I was living a double life. I would come to church and play the part of the spiritual bassist. And then I would go to school and play the part of the funny, popular, class clown, idiot kid that played way too many video games and stayed up way too late every night. I was living a double life. And that's not how we are used of God. Now, God can still use us for certain things in that time. But to be truly 100% used of God, we need to be praying. We need to be in His Word. If you want to sing on the platform, then don't be listening to worldly music. If you want to be used in the youth praise team, don't be letting Taylor Swift flow through your ears. Don't be letting Demi Lovato speak into your life.
Amen.
I know what it's like. I used to say, oh, I'm just listening to it because I like the drums. I'm just listening to it because I like the melody. But during that time, those words are also coming in my heart, and I find myself remembering those lyrics over and over and over. If you're wanting to teach a Bible study, if you're wanting to get behind the pulpit, then start studying now.
Amen.
Start helping in any capacity you can now. There will be opportunities for you to do these things before you're actually ready. And use that to prepare yourself for what God wants to do in your life.
Amen. Amen.
We've got to be a living sacrifice for God to use us. Because here's the thing. When you find yourself on the platform, when you find yourself being used in a capacity at the church, you are influencing people.
Amen.
You are leaving an imprint on those people with your words and with your actions. And if those words are selfish, and if those actions are selfish, then you just might put a bad imprint on that person. You have to understand that when you're being used in the church, it is very, very a delicate situation in which you must be prayed up. You must have been in the Word.
Amen.
To where people can truly glean from what they need from God in that moment. So, we've got to let our flesh die on the altar and leave changed and thankful. We've got to pray, we've got to read our Bibles and witness to the world. That's how we're used of God. That's how we find ourselves with a changed life and a changed heart as a living sacrifice. And it all is voluntarily.
Amen.
So, I'm going to leave you with prayer tonight. And if anybody needs any special prayer, we'll take care of that as well. And I'll dismiss with prayer. Don't forget. Let's pray first before I don't want to get caught. Sorry. If you would stand. Let's go ahead and bring this to a close. I was about to do announcements, but we're going to pray first. And if you need any special prayer, just come up and we'll pray for you tonight. So, Lord, I'm thankful for this opportunity. God, I know that words have weight. I know that every word that you spoke, Lord, that you measured and you planned out, because we don't always have as much time as it feels like we do. Lord, as I get older, I realize that time goes by quicker and quicker. And that every day, it may seem to get shorter, Lord. And I know that now more than ever, we need a generation, we need people, no matter what age, to stand up and volunteer to be the people that you want to use to reach this world and to change this world. God, I know you've not given up on anyone in this room. I know no one in this room is out of the question of being used. And I'm thankful, God, for your mercy and your grace. I pray for each heart and each mind in this room that they would remember that they are loved, they are cherished, they are treasured, and they are wanted here, and they are wanted in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, anyone has any special needs tonight, we'll pray.